Uncommon Commons is a horror anthology podcast written and recorded by George Plank and Alex Vitale. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Today's stories are
Second Gate, written by George Plank,
and Break, written by Alex Vitale.
Uncommon Commons was filmed before a live studio audience.
John!
Where is he? He hasn't been this late since restructuring put his bedroom at the bottom of the swimming pool.
Beep beep, coming through!
John, what's with all the plates?
Aw, man! Those are the last ones I could find!
Why were you carrying so many plates anyway?
Well, I had to set the table for the dinner party tonight.
Dinner party?
Yeah. My boss is coming for dinner tonight.
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
It sounded like... Never mind. You said your boss?
Yeah, I mean, technically they're your boss, too.
My what? What are you talking about?
The mysterious benefactors. Didn't you get the letter?
What letter?
At first, I thought it was just like the one I got earlier, but on second glance, I noticed something new.
Set the table. We're coming for a visit. Oh, John.
Keep reading.
Signed, AG. You seriously don't hear that?
Sorry, Jane. I guess I'm just a bit distracted trying to make sure everything is perfect. My cookies! Aw, man. Now I need to find a new dessert.
Knock, knock.
Oh, hey, Doreen.
Sorry to bother you, but I was wondering if I could borrow a cup of cream.
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
Don't lap it up in one place.
Actually, I was going to make a cake. You know, these harmful stereotypes set cats back hundreds of years.
I'm sorry, it won't happen again.
It's okay, you're only human after all. If you need me, I'll be paws deep in a ball of yarn. I'm thinking about making a scarf.
I cannot believe it. Human? Bold assumption.
Chowder, coming through.
That's great, John. Just mind the gun lying on the ground.
The what? Whoa!
Oh, John.
Huh.
Has this ever happened to you? If so, consider sentience. Sentience. Why should the AI have all the fun?
And now back to Mysteries of the Unknown! Picture this. You're hiking one of the many scenic trails in the Pacific Northwest. It rained the day before, so the path is still a little wet. Something shiny catches your eye, so you reach deep into the mud. You're hoping it's some jewelry or ancient pirate treasure, but instead you pull out a camcorder with a busted screen. You consider throwing it back for a moment, but a lit power icon entices you to press play. With the screen cracked beyond repair, you can't see the person on the screen, but you can hear their voice loud and clear.
Hey, Dom, I'm on my way to the place. So you're probably gonna get a lot of B-roll of me, you know, just driving around, getting a general, you know, lay of the land on my way up to here. I love the work you've been doing lately, by the way. It looks absolutely phenomenal. That said, I kind of have a vision of what I'm going for up here, so I'm going to be making a few notes here and there, just like kind of what I'm going for, you know? So if I like talk over clips, just know we can mute that out and put some of the like royalty-free music over it or something. Dom, by the way, while I'm editing this, if you could have your headphones on, I'd really appreciate it. There's just, something I'd like to run by you real quick. Nothing serious, just want your thoughts on something. I'm going to be, doing some VO stuff. Trying out some VO stuff, just on the road. While still fresh in my mind, don't want to waste it. So I'll kind of be switching back and forth between this more casual, style and, something more akin to what we'll see on the channel. All right. Just giving you a heads up. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Cedar Rapid, and I'm on the scene of another lost or forgotten spot here in the greater Pacific Northwest. This one was recommended by one of our patrons, Mr. E. So, naturally, we had to check it out and see, well, what's what. Remember, if you have a recommendation for a spot you want us to explore, be sure to click that link in the description and become a patron today. Before we do, though, a quick word from our sponsors. Great. Now I just have to remember to say that when doing the actual clips. What is our sponsor again? I know we had an agreement with that meal prep kit. Dom, we really need to reach out to more places. When I pitched this show, it never occurred to me that sponsors might not like having their name on a video of someone actively trespassing. And I know, we have the paperwork. Oh, thank God. For a moment, I thought I'd left it back at the office. I mean, I probably won't need it, but it's a good thing to have, Let's see. Well, there, I think you got some good B-roll of the road. Yeah, like I said, I think you can maybe use it in a time lapse or something. All right. I'll do the departure scene again. All right, guys, you know how we like to do things. I found a nice cozy spot on the side of the road and tucked the truck behind some trees and branches, and we'll have to make the rest of the journey on foot. Now, you guys may have noticed that I'm flying solo this time. Josh had other places to be, so this is the Cedar Solo Mesh. See what you're missing out on, Josh? Josh. The last five have been solo missions. What does he have to say for himself?
No, sorry, not feeling up to it.
Not that I even really want him around, not after what happened in Scottsburg. Did I tell you about that, Dom? Alright, well, make sure you have your headphones in. Right, so we went into town because I wanted to make sure that the mall was actually abandoned and we wouldn't, run into any security or anything like that. Josh says he has a lead and disappears for 6 hours, and when I find him, he's in a bar with a mountain of glasses around him and there's lipstick on his collar. What am I supposed to tell Marie, huh? Yeah, sorry to break the news to you, but on the upside, you got an extra $200 in your bank account because, of course, Josh forgets his wallet and I have to pick up his tab. Well, you know what? I'm sick of covering for him. I think he needs a wake-up call. And that looks like the first roadblock. Did they mention a fence? What did they say this place was again? Great, no signal. Looks like it was some secret construction project. Who signed off on this again? McGinnis and Stewart Real Estate. Does that sound familiar to you? I could have swore I heard it somewhere before. Well, if anyone asks, we have it in writing. Not been over. Okay. I think I see a clearing up ahead. Oh, wow, okay. I'm gonna need a few sweeping shots and one where we pan up to that sign. Doesn't look like they put the letters on yet. Jeez, these things are massive. So we have a D and a P and, well, that doesn't make me feel comfortable.
And if you guys can figure out what that's supposed to say, leave it in the comments below. There, how's that for a call to action? All right, looks like we got some turnstiles. You know, next time remind me to duck under, huh? It looks like some kind of walking path. You know, I don't usually like surprises. Which is why I'm surprised we approved this one without even knowing what was out here. There's lots of trees, so I really can't see a lot besides the path itself. Just a little further now. Oh, would you look at that? Are these shops? I mean, it's fairly obvious with the large glass windows and all, but still, at first glance, I could have sworn it was just like a town or something, like a place trapped in time or something like that. Guest relations. It doesn't look like there's a lot here except a few computers. Remember, explanation, what's the first rule of our expeditions? No souvenirs. That's the difference between trespassing and breaking and entering. You hear that, Josh? No, I'm still not over the watch incident. It was bad enough to find them there, but then he puts it on social media and... Hang on, there's something here. I found a clipboard. Project Westgate? There's some kind of spreadsheet. Stephen Graham, tilt and pour operator. Dom, we can blur this out, right? I don't want to accidentally dox someone. Oh, check it out. Here at the top. Employees, 499 out of 500. I guess they were just one away from opening. All right, let's check out the shops next. You know, is that a dog? There might be some security around. Oh, the bell works, that's good. You know, with a lot of these places, it's up in the air whether anything works or if it's even salvageable. Check it out! This must have been some kind of gift shop. You remember these? The polished stones? I remember going to Need Park when I was a kid, filling up those little velvet bags full of these little stones. I used to carry them with me whenever I went. I think someone eventually broke into my locker and ended up taking them. To this day, I have no idea who could have been. How did I miss that? A whole wall full of plushies. Let's see here. A bird, a jackalope. That's what those are called, right? The rabbit with the ears and the antlers. I think so. And, what's your name, little fella? Rutherford. Yeah, I'm getting this from all angles, Dom. I can't figure out what it's supposed to be. He's like a fuzzy brown lump with arms and legs. You know who would love this? Shy. You know, I was watching one of their older videos, and they were saying they love character plushes. You know, it's been a while since they uploaded anything. Maybe one of these guys could pass the test. Must be an echo in here or something. Hey, I think I see a map board over there. No way. If this is what I think it is, then we are in for a treat. First of all, take a look at this. Oh, it must have been a pretty early map because it's all pathways and numbers. But look at the layout. It's a complete circle. You can probably go all the way around. Next, look at some of these markers. Tilt and Pour, The Mill, Space Coaster 2000. If this is what I think it is, we are in for a treat. Now, Dom, I don't want to do your job for you, but this right here, this is the shot. This is the shot. This is absolutely the shot. All right, I'm getting a wide panning shot here. And you can probably put the theme song over this. You know, I can see it now, like, you know, the one that goes... And we can use the shot as the thumbnail and say something like, "The West Coast's Forgotten Theme Park?" You know, lots of question marks and exclamation marks. And then use this shot of the roller coaster with Mount Hood in the background. Oh, I mean, I'm obviously going to take more of a look around, but you didn't know this was out here, right? This isn't just an elaborate prank on me. Come on, it's not my birthday, Dom. Oh, I can't believe I had misgivings about this one. This will teach Josh. Dom, if you have a moment, there's something I'd like to talk to you about. Obviously, I don't need an answer right away. It's just... you won't even see this until early next week, but... It's about Josh. I just want to put the option on the table that maybe we should encourage him to find... employment elsewhere. I know. He's been with us since the beginning, right? Like, he's a founding member. But lately, his attitude has been really poor, and again, you don't need to tell me right now. We can talk about it later. So I'm in the mill now. There was a service entrance that was left unlocked, so I'll have to remember to record something for that later on, just for continuity's sake. Oh, if you look over there, all the boats are stored off to the side when the ride isn't in operation. But as you can clearly see, the pathways are still flooded, just waiting for something to push the water along. I've got to be a little careful here. There's no telling what could be in this water. But, as always, gotta come prepared. Always wear your boots. It's a good thing I have this headlamp, otherwise I probably wouldn't be able to see anything. Not that there's anything to see. It's just a bunch of dark corridors and the occasional logging instrument. See that up there? And there's slots in the wall, so I think some... at some level, projections might have been involved. Just a hunch. Did you hear that? I thought I heard some movement up ahead. Hello? There it is again. Oh, I definitely saw movement. Wait up! I definitely lost them. What's that? Looks like a mascot costume. Wait a minute. I think I know who this is. Rutherford! Man, he looks much bigger in person. Still can't tell exactly what he is. No one inside. I don't think you're the one I'm looking for. Oh, cool. A security door. No way. It's unlocked. Okay, I think the next ride should be right over... Yeah, here we go. Okay, so apparently this one was called the Tilt and Pour. As you can see, it was probably a teacup-style ride. And the vehicles are these giant cups. All right, I gotta know. Spin! Ugh. Look at that. The water's just sloshing around inside. How long has that been building up? There's so much of it. You know, I bet if I
Yep, yo, God, yeah, that did it. Looks like some flowers were growing inside. Never seen flowers like that before. It smells very sweet and familiar, almost like a... Oof.
Looks like we're all ready to go.
And that's where the recording ends. The hiker who found it turned it in to the authorities, who after doing all that they could turned it over to us. We checked. According to WTube, there has never been a channel called Explanation, and no trace of Cedar, nor their online persona, Cedar Rapid, could be found online or in any government record book. So what happened there, and where are they now? I guess we may never know.
Welcome, honoured guests, to a historic day for Need Park. It is by no small measure that we are able to open here today. After decades of planning and patience, we are thrilled to finally open Need West to you, the public. Inside, you will find many familiar attractions and experiences with even more new surprises around every corner. So, stay with us and remember to make memories you'll never forget.
You know her, you love her. Now you can own a piece of history with Jessica Law's new album, Ghost Watching. Listen wherever you stream music, or order a copy of your very own on Bandcamp. There is no toll-free number. Just go to Bandcamp.
And now back to Uncommon Commons here on...
Here, John. You look like you could use a towel.
Thanks, Jane. I guess I've just been under a lot of stress lately.
Well, calm down. Don't want you keeling over.
Yeah, a dead body is the last thing we want.
Why are they laughing? Why would that be funny? What do they know that we don't?
No one's laughing, Jane. Man, the stress of this dinner party must be really getting to you. Come on, let's go for a walk. Maybe it'll clear your head.
Don't we have to finish setting the table?
We need plates to do that. And all the ones I had are in pieces on the floor, so...
So we're running errands.
Exactly. Nothing better to clear your mind than the knowledge that you should be doing something else. Come on, there's got to be a storage closet around here somewhere.
Hey, have you ever seen this door before?
No, sorry, can't say that I have. What does that plaque say?
Common area. But the couch and everything is out here.
Well, until we look inside, we have no idea if there are any plates in there or not. I believe they call that Schrodinger's flatware.
Very sound.
Can we tell that I wrote something because I actively go out of my way to avoid using actual brand names?
Oh, I just say Star.
Hey, do you mind? The booth is in use.
Oh, sorry.
Ah, jeez, I'm nowhere near prepared for this dinner.
Don't worry, you've got plenty of time.
It's 8:42. Do you know where your children are?
I saw a movie once that said, Hell is a teenage girl. It was a pretty good movie, but it was wrong. Hell is not a teenage girl. It isn't just a Bible story either, and it's not a place. Hell isn't some pit deep below the crust of the earth, filled with fire and brimstone and demons prodding pitchforks up your ass. It's not isolation or war or anything like that. Hell is your favorite diner on a Sunday morning. You're sitting with your best friend, just like you always do, chatting over two chipped, off-white mugs of coffee while you wait for your food. She's talking about God knows what, maybe a movie she saw with her boyfriend du jour, maybe work troubles. Normally, you'd listen. You're distracted. A young man sits across from your table. Well, not across, really. He's on the other side of the restaurant, but he might as well be right next to you. He's been watching you, thinking you don't notice. You do, though. You notice his dark brown, slightly wavy hair, the dusting of stubble along his chin, the warm brown eyes that you just know crinkle when he laughs. He's cute, you think. Cute enough that you make eye contact with him. He winks, and you try not to roll your eyes. Instead, you smile. It's a bit strained because the coffee hasn't kicked in yet, but he doesn't seem to care. Suddenly, the waitress places your French toast in front of you, and you're reeled back into the conversation with your friend. This time, she's moved on to talking about school. You engage her this go-around and try to ignore those pretty brown eyes that you can still feel watching you. Hell is your local grocery store on a Tuesday afternoon. Your mother asked you to pick up a few items for her on your way home from school. You agreed, as long as she provided the funds. You retrieve the crumpled list from your pocket and scan it over. Potatoes, carrots, beef broth. It looks like she's making stew tonight. You wander over to the produce section and begin surveying the carrots. Most of them are bruised and on their way to rotting. As you dig through the pile, trying in vain to keep them from tumbling down, a man steps up beside you and begins to do the same thing in the next bin. Apparently, the tomatoes are in just as bad shape as the carrots, because he's judging them with the same scrutiny as a dog show judge. It takes you a moment and a couple of side glances to realize that he's the same guy from the diner last week. You consider saying hi to him. Instead, you choose an okay-looking carrot and slink off, telling yourself that he wouldn't recognize you anyway. By the time you've helped your mother prepare dinner, you've forgotten all about him. Hell is the next day after school, on the front porch of your home. It had been your best friend's turn to drive, and you realized during lunch that you'd left your keys at home on the kitchen counter. Your parents leave a spare key underneath your mom's potted begonia. It takes a bit of maneuvering to lift the pot and snag the key, and even more maneuvering once you've figured out that she's taped it to the bottom. Eventually, though, you wrestle it free. You tuck it back in its hiding place once you've unlocked the door. After all that work, it's time for a snack. Hell is a car ride with your best friend, late Friday night. You're driving with one hand on the wheel and the other leaning on the windowsill. The two of you are heading down one of those old, twisty country roads, the kind that you like to drive just a little too fast because it's the only thrill you can get in a town like this. Your best friend is telling you all about her family's plans for winter break. You lower the music, because she's talking over it anyway, and you'd rather hear about snowmass. Your eyes flicker from mirror to road as she talks, simultaneously watching for both deer and cops. In your rear view, lights flash. They thankfully aren't red and blue, but the normal dull yellow of headlights. Someone who must live around here, heading home from a long shift. You settle back into your seat as your friend tells you more about her new ski gear, and eventually the two of you make a loop towards the town's singular fast food joint. The car behind you pulls in as well. Apparently they have the same idea. Once you have your orders, you're off again for one last ride as you finish your food. You can't help but notice that the headlights follow you, and under the only working street lamp in town, you catch the beige shape of a sedan. Your friend, content with her French fries, doesn't notice them. She's moved on to complaining about having to share a room with her little brother. She doesn't seem to pick up on how tense your shoulders are, or how you're white-knuckling the steering wheel with both hands. Now your routine is back. Mirror, mirror, road. You linger a little longer than you should, looking in the rear view. "Watch out!" shouts your friend, and you slam on the brakes before you plow into a herd of deer. The sedan barely waits for them to finish crossing, before they step on the gas and wheel around you. "What a dickhead," mutters your friend. Hell is the following Sunday at the diner. He's there again, smiling at you. It's a small town. He must be a regular. Hell is at home on a Thursday evening. Your mom is helping with something at church, and your dad is staying late at work. You're home alone. You sit at the kitchen table with your feet tucked under you. Your homework is spread out in front of you, and you absently tap the pencil against your lip as you go over the same calculus problem for the third time that evening. It's nearly winter break, so if you can just get through this last week, you'll be golden. This homework is impossible, though, and you kind of want to hate yourself for springing for an AP class. Still, you manage to power through the problem with only contracting a slight headache. By that time, it's about 7, and you reason that you've earned dinner. Your energy is all but sapped, though, so instead of vegetables and a nice hearty meal, you decide on mac and cheese. The dinner of champions. You peel yourself off of your chair and stuff your notebooks into your backpack. As you dig through the pantry, you hear it. A rustling. You perk up, wondering if your dad got home early and decided to enter through the overgrown kitchen door. He likes to do that for some reason, even though the door always jams. You call out for him, but there's no response. The rustling has stopped too. You retrieve the mac and cheese and start to fill a pot. As you wait for the water to boil, your eyes drift to the kitchen windows. They're close to the ground. All the windows on the first floor are like that, low to the ground and tall. Your mind flashes to a few weeks earlier, when your best friend had casually mentioned how easy they would be to climb in through. You'd been watching some B-list horror movie, too, so she'd really played it up. Something or someone could easily slip inside when no one was looking. You'd thrown a pillow at her then and said that the only unwelcome thing in your house was her. You watch the window cautiously, peering at it out of the corner of your eye while you stir the pot. No more rustling. Once your food is done, you spoon it into some Fiestaware and retreat to the living room. A chick flick takes your mind off of windows and rustling and intruders until your parents get home. Hell is your bedroom at 3 a.m. on a Saturday night. You're asleep until something bright flashes outside your window. Hell is homeroom the following Monday morning. Your best friend doesn't believe you when you tell her about the flash. She says you were dreaming. You probably were. Hell is a kitchen table at dinner time on the Wednesday before winter break. Your parents sit you down and tell you that your father has business two states over. He'll be gone for a week. Your mother is going with him. The two of them smile knowingly at you and warn you not to have too much fun. No parties, your mom says. She doesn't know that most of your friends are going out of town anyway. Your parents don't ask you if you want to come with them, but they do offer to leave money for pizza one night. Your dad even chips in extra, in case you want to get some snacks or rent a movie or two. Hell is that Friday, the day before winter break. Your parents left that morning for your father's business conference. Your best friend was pulled out of third period to start her vacation early. Holding your breath, you watch the hands of the wall clock tick by. The door of the classroom threatens to burst open with the exiting flood of students any minute now, taking with it your last shred of sanctuary. Safety in numbers. The minute hand creeps ever closer to that one sacred hour when the spindly fingers of the clock point towards 2 and 9. Your teacher can't seem to keep the attention of your fellow students as notes are passed around and hushed laughter breaks the fragile silence. The second's hand strikes its mark and the bell rings. The classroom erupts and you're the sole straggler left to gather your things. Even your teacher has fled the scene. You let out your breath. You hadn't even realized you were holding it. Hell is your local video store later that afternoon. You're among good company as you absently browse the shelves. Other young people with no other plans make selections with you. A flash of brown hair rounds the corner and you jolt. It isn't him, though. Just some girl with a pixie cut. You're being silly. Still, a prickly feeling claws its way over your hunched shoulders and you hastily grab a movie. It's a comedy, not exactly a classic, but one of your favorites. You could use comfort tonight. Hell is the drive home, with the beige sedan in the rearview mirror. Hell is your bedroom that same night. You'd finished the movie 5 hours ago and watched it again just to have some noise. Now the house is quiet. Quiet save for the settling of the wood. Every time you close your eyes, there's another creak. Hell is your bedroom the next morning. Funny how you can see the sunset and sunrise all in one sitting. Hell is the entirety of the next few days. You do your best to go about your normal life, but everywhere you look, it feels like there's something hiding in the shadows. The snack money your dad gave you goes to good use, at least, and you venture out to pick up chips and soda. You order pizza, you watch movies, you try to find some fun things to do so you can at least have something to show for it at the end of winter break. You do your chores and the homework your meter teachers gave you, and you even call your grandma. You try to ignore the need to double-take the boy standing in line behind you at the video store. You fight back against the urge to check your rearview mirror every 20 seconds. You even let your guard down enough to sneak a tiny drink of whiskey from your parents' liquor cabinet. You try to be a normal teenager and enjoy your last ever high school winter break. Hell is the night before your parents come home. Maybe you've taken a little bit more than a tiny drink from the whiskey bottle, but you'd otherwise been a bottle child, so you reason it all balances out. The sun is beginning to set and you're almost ready to pop in your latest movie rental. You feel good. So good, in fact, that you can push down that sticky, cloying feeling at the back of your neck that you're being watched. So good that you can brush off the sedan that you could swear has circled your neighborhood a few times. So good that you can turn your back on the living room window. So good that you feel good. A little lightheaded and fuzzy. Hell is the sound of your front door opening when you know for a fact that your parents' flight doesn't get in until 10:15 tomorrow morning. Hell is your living room when you are too drunk to make your body move, to make your legs stand firm under you. You hit the ground slowly. The carpet is slippery under your socks, and the coffee table holds little support. Your mind should be racing, and it is, but in all the ways it shouldn't be. Nothing is firing in any useful ways, and you can't even remember if you put the phone back on the kitchen receiver. What would 911 do at this point, anyway? Instead of reminding you where your dad keeps the gun or where your mom keeps the knives, your brain reminds you of the tall, low kitchen windows. Of the overgrown back door. Ironic, isn't it? You wonder if he'll put the key back under the begonia. Hell is your favorite diner on a Sunday morning, where you never should have smiled back.
Oh, what's wrong, champ?
I'm bored.
Oh, in that case, I've got just the thing.
Wow! Tickets on board the Need Reverie?
That's right! It's
the first of its kind cruise ship from the same people that brought you Need Park?
Yup, and we'll
travel to exotic locales while enjoying all the entertainment that Need is known for, all the while staying in five-star accommodations with top-of-the-line amenities like our room's own Alma device that allow you to order room service, plan the perfect itinerary for your day, and much more.
Right.
Then we'll make landfall and explore the exotic beaches of Empanema until the sun goes down?
Wow, how do you know so much?
I don't know.
Ask your travel agent today about the Need Reverie, and remember to make memories you'll never forget.
Oh, they're here. How do I look? Presentable?
No.
Good. Okay, here goes nothing. Welcome, mysterious it's...
us. Sorry we're late, we just caught up in an impromptu vivisection.
I still don't think that was entirely necessary.
Quiet, you.
We were doing science.
You sure were, buddy.
Jane was just telling me about her cool uncle, father, brother, son, nephew, cousin.
We don't have any relatives.
Shut up.
Service just got out.
Hey, everybody, I brought a board game.
Ugh!
So, where are the mysterious benefactors?
What?
I thought you were supposed to be... We all got a letter saying that they were coming here, and we wanted to meet them, so where are they? Yeah, I was told they'd be coming here.
So what are you saying?
They aren't here.
Don't
what do you mean they aren't here?
Chainsaw.
The letter said they would be at this exact spot.
I thought one John was bad.
Have you tried the soup?
This is ridiculous.
Me again. Thought you might enjoy some cake. Oh, I didn't know you were having guests. Good thing I made extra.
Thanks, Doreen.
You know, it isn't that bad here. I mean, good food, good company. Sure beats living out in the void. You were in the void? I've said too much. I think that dinner party went well, Jane, don't you?
Yeah, John. With Doreen's help, I think we really pulled it together in the end.
I'm still a little disappointed that the mysterious benefactors didn't show up, though. I mean, all that work for nothing?
Not for nothing, John. You threw a great dinner party, and we made some great friends along the way.
You mean us?
Well, if you can't be friends with yourself, how do you expect anyone else to be?
Thanks, Jane.
You're welcome, John. Aww. Okay, for real, where are those voices coming from?
Uncommon Commons is a podcast. It was written and recorded by George Plank and Alex Vitale. Our logo was designed by Sam Vitale, and our theme song was written by Charles Adam Robinson. Special thanks this week to our guest stars, Rebecca Tewksbury, Alistair Stewart, who you can find at Alistair Stewart on Twitter, or support his other work at Escape Artist at EA Podcast on Twitter. He wrote the introduction and conclusion to Flux, published by Oversea Books, and he just won an Audioverse Award for Best Performer in a New Production. Congrats. Another special thanks goes to Jessica Law for providing the voice of Doreen Wimbledon. You can listen to her newest album, Ghost Watching, on all streaming services, or you can buy digital and physical copies at Bandcamp via the link in the description below. If you like the show, rate us and review us wherever you get podcasts, and if you really want to help out, subscribe to us on Patreon, also in the description below. Uncommon Commons will return on May 2nd. Until then, stay, and remember, nothing is real.